But before you get to that point and get to those last six verses there in chapter 4, you have the first 12 verses. And the first 12 verses is dealing with your walk. If you look at verse 1, he says this, Furthermore then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus Christ, by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us how you ought to walk, and to please God, so you would abound more and more. So in the first verse right there, he talks about your walk, how you ought to walk. And then if you look in verse 12, he says that you may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that you may have lack of nothing. And so the first 12 verses there, you're going to be talking about your walk with the Lord. And the first 5 there, it deals with telling you what your walk is. Now, as you read the Bible and you listen to preaching over the years, what you realize is your walk is your actions. It's your actions, it's your reactions, it's how you carry yourself, it's your lifestyle, it's what you do. That's what your walk is. Your walk in this life is, when people talk about your walk, they're talking about your reputation, how you live, what you are, your being, what you stand for, all those things. And it's easy to tell that if you look. Now, just being around preaching and stuff, you understand it just because of the context of preaching, because of messages that you've heard. But just to go through some of it, let's look at verse 4, he says that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. All right, that vessel right there is talking about your body. Look over at 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. Look down at verse 7. 1 Peter 3:7. He says this, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. And so she's called a vessel right there, and she's called the weaker vessel. It's not that she's weak, she's just the weaker vessel according to the Bible. But the point we're getting there is that the woman, her life, her body, is considered a vessel. Now go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Let's read the first 5 verses. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. He says, furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more. For ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God. And so as he's talking to these Christians here at Thessalonica, what he's saying is, he's saying, this is the way I want you to walk. This is the way the Lord wants you to walk. This is the way you're supposed to walk. This is the will of God. And he says, don't be like the Gentiles here. So obviously, a Christian can act like those Gentiles. Any man that's saved and he looks past his old life and he says, this is the way I used to live, at any point in his life, if he decides to, he can go back and he can live like he used to live at any point in time. And the Bible talks about over there in Galatians chapter 5. Now what you're going to get into is that if somebody does that, especially around this area here, what people are going to tell you is, they're going to say, well, they never had it. They were never saved. They weren't a saved person. If they were really saved, then they wouldn't have acted like that right there. And that's not true. A saved man can act just like a lost man. Look over at Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, talking about your walk. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, look at verse 16. The Apostle Paul talking to the church here at Galatia, he says this, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And he's talking to a Christian right there. He's saying, if you will walk in the flesh, if you'll walk in the Spirit, you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit. He's telling them, make this choice right here. walk in the Spirit. And if you do, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So what he's telling that Christian is right there, if you don't walk in the Spirit, guess what's going to happen to you? You're going to fulfill the lust of the flesh. And what is the lust of the flesh? Well, he goes on to tell you. Look down in verse 19. Galatians 5:19. He says, now the works of the flesh are manifest. Okay? He's telling a Christian, first of all, walk in the Spirit and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. And then he goes on to tell you, here's what the lust of the flesh is. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. Which are these? Adultery. So can a Christian commit adultery? Sure he can. Right there he says it. If you walk in the Spirit, you won't commit adultery. That's what he's saying. And then he says, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred. Okay, so you take that word witchcraft. Can a Christian get caught up in witchcraft? Sure he can. He says, hatred. Can a Christian get caught up with hatred? Sure he can. And it says, variance, emulations, wrath. Can a Christian have wrath? Sure he can. Strife, seditions. Can he get caught up in heresies? Right there it is. Verse 21, envyings, murders. Wait a second. You mean a Christian can commit murder? Sure he can. A Christian can commit murder. See, now that's what you're going to hear is you're going to say, well, brother, I just believe if the guy was really saved, then he would have never done that. Well, that's not what the Apostle Paul says. The Apostle Paul says, if you walk in the Spirit, you won't commit a murder. And if you don't walk in the Spirit, guess what you can do? You can commit murder. And he's talking to a Christian right here. You say, how do you know it's a Christian? Well, number one, a lost man can't walk in the Spirit. He's talking to Christians. These are Christians, and he's saying this. You get out of church, you quit reading your Bible, you quit praying to God, and you start living after this world, you'd be surprised what you can get into as a Christian. And he says, envyings, murders, drunkenness. You mean a Christian can get drunk? Yeah, he can. A Christian can get drunk. And you know what people's going to say? I just don't believe you can go to the bar on Saturday night and get up and go to church and be saved. Why not? I'm not saying it's the right thing to do. I'm not saying it's a good thing to do. But that has nothing to do with the fact of whether somebody is saved or lost. That's got to do whether or not they put their trust in Jesus Christ and the blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed them from all sin. And see, when you get into that stuff right there, everybody starts talking about, well, this guy really ain't saved, and then what happens is he gets saved, and next year he starts getting messed up again because he's not walking in the Spirit. They have another revival. Then what happens? They get saved again. Because why? Well, they wouldn't commit drunkenness. They wouldn't be doing these things if they were really saved. No, you wouldn't commit those things as a Christian if you were walking in the Spirit. It don't say if you were saved. It says if you were walking in the Spirit. And so we're talking here about your walk. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, that's the context. And he says, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, that inheritance right there has got to do with what we talked about a few weeks ago when we were talking about the judgment seat of Christ. And we were talking about the rewards. When you begin to talk about the judgment seat of Christ, and when you say, Jack Butts, when my life's over, or if the rapture happens, and I go to heaven, then what the Lord's going to do is He's going to take my works, and He's going to judge them. Now, I'm not going to be judged whether I'm saved or lost. I'm already, my sins were judged on Calvary. I accepted that payment. And according to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I'm okay. But there's a reward to be gained at the judgment seat of Christ. And it's going to be based on the fact of whether or not I've walked in the Spirit as a Christian or whether I fulfilled the works of the flesh. Because my works is what's going to be judged. And he says this. Verse 22. So in verse 21, you take somebody that lives after the flesh, then their inheritance, they're not going to have an inheritance. Verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit, this is walking in the Spirit, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. All right, so you've got those nine things right there. So you say, well, how do I know, brother, if I'm walking in the Spirit, or if I'm walking after the flesh?
Well, here's how you know.
Do you have love in your life? Or do you have hatred and bitterness? Do you have joy? Do you have peace? Or is it hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife? Do you have strife in your life?
Or do you always have somebody that you're into it with and you're always aggravated at somebody or you're mad at somebody or things just ain't going the way you want them to be going and you can't lay down your head at night and you don't have the peace of God? Well, then according to the Bible, you're not walking after the Spirit. Because if you're walking after the Spirit, you have love and joy and peace and long-suffering. Well, you just don't know who I have to put up with, brother. You're looking at the Apostle Paul, who went through a whole lot more than what we went through. And the Apostle Paul here said, you know what you can have?
You can have love. You can have joy. You can have peace. You can have long-suffering. You can be gentle. Those are things that, as a Christian, that we can't have if we'll be a partaker of the divine nature. And we can have those things.
But at the same time, we can also have the works of the flesh. And what happens is we say,
okay, I'm not gonna
murder somebody. You know, I'm not gonna go to that extreme, but we'll be okay with having hatred. We'll be okay with having strife or heresies or some of those things in our life.
And as a Christian, we're not supposed to be that way. Our walk is supposed to be pleasing to the Lord, is what he says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Let it please God. And you see your walk here, your walk is your actions.
Walk in the Spirit. These works, these actions, that's what a person's walk is.
All right? And you're a vessel. And you are a vessel.
Each person sitting here today, you're a vessel. And the person that's in control of that vessel is you. You control that vessel. You are the one that's going to be held accountable for what that vessel does. You're the one that's going to be rewarded for what that vessel does. Or you're going to be the one that's going to be punished for what that vessel does. But I can tell you this, you're a vessel. And the one that's accountable for it is you. Nobody else. I'm accountable for me. You're accountable for you. And when you stand before Jesus Christ, that's what you're going to be accountable for. What you've done with your vessel. Now go back to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verse 1, he says, furthermore then we beseech you, brethren. See, he's talking about Christians. Talking about brethren. I can't get it across to you anymore to let you realize is that a Christian can get backslid on God and can commit any sin that a lost man can commit. If somebody would have, when I was in the military, I got saved in 1978. I went in the military in 1987. If anyone in the military would have talked to me from 1987 to 1989 when I got out of the Army, I'll guarantee you what they would have said. They would have said, Jack Butts is a lost man. I was saved. And they said, he's a lost man. I'll tell you that when Tennessee won the national championship in 1998, there was one of my friends from the Army called me. And we got talking on the phone. He was just said, I bet you're watching that game. I was like, yeah. So we were talking. And he said, what are you doing now? I said, I'm a Baptist preacher. He said, what? I said, I'm a Baptist preacher. JB, come on. No, really. I'm a Baptist preacher. I'm a Baptist preacher. He wouldn't believe me. He thought I was lying. You say, why? Because of how my walk was when I was in the military. If I would have died at that time, you know what people would have said? Jack Butts went to hell. And what happens is people do not want to look at the Scripture. They do not want to see that and say that a saved man can commit any sin that a lost man can. And I'm not telling you that it's okay. I'm just saying that it has no bearing on whether a person's saved or lost. And immediately somebody's going to say, well, what about that verse that says, by their fruit ye shall know them. What's the context? It's false prophets and false teachers. It's not talking about saved people. It's not talking about saved people. What happens is people will pull one verse out of context and they read it and then they try to create a whole doctrine, which is a false heresy in Galatians chapter 5 that a Christian can do.
And so here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, he's saying this: "Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, Christians, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more." So what he's saying is to these Thessalonians, he's saying, listen, you know what we've said to you about your walk with the Lord. He says, and you're doing a good job. We just want you to abound more and more. We want you to do better at your walk. We want you to do better at pleasing God. In verse 2, he says this: "For ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus." You know what that's for right there? That's for people that want to justify how they live. People that want to justify the fact that I'm not a murderer, I'm not a drunk, I may have some bitter feelings towards some people. You know what they're saying? You know our commandments, what we've given you, over being bitter. And you know what we've told you about hatred. You know what we've told you about strifes and striving with men and not being long-suffering. You know what we've commanded you. And this right here, this verse, is good to remind people we're not fooling God. We're not fooling anybody. I mean, God didn't tell us to just not do the bad stuff. He said, do the good, do it all. Be good with all of it, not just, well, I'm not a drunk, I'm not a murderer, you know, I get mad at people every now and then, I got a little pride, or I got a little envy, he don't say that that's okay. And in verse 2 there, he says, "You know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor." And you know what you get into is, I told you a few weeks ago, I was talking to a man, and he was talking about drinking, and he was saying it was okay to drink, and he said, you know, as long as there's a little bit of drinking going on, he says, and basically what he got into was that he said, "I have a hard time with Christians," which he's supposedly a Christian. "I got a hard time with Christians because they're always, you know, trying to put all these convictions on you and stuff like that." And he said, "When you take drinking," he said, "lost people," he said, "they don't understand that stuff." And we talked around there for a little bit. And what I did is I knew a guy that was lost that worked out in the plant. And I thought, I'm just going to go see something. So I walked out there and I looked at him and I said, "Ask you something." I said, "You're not saved." He said, "No, I'm not." I said, "But you believe there's a God?" "Yeah, I believe there's a God." He said, I just ain't saved and just ain't wanting to get saved. And I said, "Let me ask you a question." He said, "What?" I said, "Do you think it's wrong to drink?" He said, "Yeah, it's wrong to drink." I said, "What do you think about a Christian that would drink?" He said, "They're a hypocrite." I said, "That's what I thought." And you get these Christians that want to play both sides of the street because they think, what they think is they think, "Well, I'm helping this lost person out because I'm not as strict and I'm not as full of myself like these Christians that want to say what's right and wrong." And you know what they're doing? Lost people's looking at them and thinking, "Man, you're a hypocrite. Yeah. Are you gonna act like this right here today, but you're going to talk to me about the Lord tomorrow? I mean, where's that at?" And you know what lost people know? They know what's right and wrong. They know what, if it's right to drink or if it ain't right to drink. You let a Christian get caught in a bar that's been witnessing to somebody, you know what that guy's going to do? Guess who I saw drinking at the bar the other night? They know what's right and wrong. They've chose to do the opposite. And what happens is, as Christians, they get into this thing where they're wanting to play both sides of the street, or they just want to drink, so they're going to justify it. And you know what God says in verse 4? He says that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. You need to know how to possess your vessel, which is your body, in sanctification, being set apart, and honor. You ought to be able to honor the Lord Jesus Christ with where you go, with how you talk, with how you act, with how you dress, with everything you got with your vessel. You should be able to honor the Lord Jesus Christ. And he sits here in no uncertain terms, and he says, every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles, which know not God. And so you get into these first five verses right here, and he's explaining to you that what your walk is. And your walk is how you possess your vessel. Now look over at look at Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. Now it's obvious that nobody's perfect, and that we're all going to mess up, and we're all going to do things that's wrong. And what we have to do at that moment right there, here's what you have to do, is you have to say, you know what? I've messed up. And instead of looking at somebody else, looking at another preacher, or looking at another woman, or looking at another man that's in a church, or looking at a deacon, or looking at somebody else and saying, well, they do this, and they do that, and they do this. What a person has to do when they mess up is they just have to go to the Lord Jesus Christ and ask for forgiveness. And when they do that, hold your place in Romans 13, look at 1 John chapter 1. The reason a lot of people don't have joy is because they're not confessing their sins. 1 John chapter 1. Look at verse 4. 1 John 1, 4. He says, and these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, okay? We say we have fellowship with Him. Why? Because we're not a drunk and we're not a murderer and we're not an adulterer? What about bitterness? What about hatred? What about gossip? What about living our lives like that right there, but yet we're going to pretend like we have a walk with the Lord Jesus Christ? You know what we're doing? We're lying to ourselves. Our standard is not whether or not we're a drunk or a murderer or a drug addict. Our standard is the Lord Jesus Christ and whether or not we're walking in light. Here's what he says. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness... If somebody came up to you and said, do you have fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ? And you said yes, and you got sin in your life, then guess what? You're a liar. He says, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, so walking in the light, that's doing right. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, now look at this. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. My little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. So what He's saying is, don't sin. Quit sinning. But He goes on to say, and if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And so, go back to Romans chapter 13. So the point is this. If in your walk with the Lord, you're messing up, you got two options. You can just bite it and say, you know what? I'm a sinner. I'm not walking with fellowship. I'm not walking in fellowship with the Lord. I'm not walking in light. I'm walking in darkness. And you can get down on your hands and knees and you can say, God, I talked about somebody again. God, I've had hatred in my heart for somebody. God, I've got enviousness in my heart about somebody. God, I reacted the wrong way right there. God, I need to be more long-suffering. God, I need to have a heart for souls. I don't care whether people die and go to hell. I don't care. God, I'm going to heaven, and I don't care what anybody else does. That's the wrong attitude. You say, what do? You get down on your hands and knees, and you say, God, forgive me. I'm a sinner. But these people that walk around, and they go weeks without confessing sin in their life, and they want to act like they're walking with the Lord, they're liars, according to the Word of God. They're not doing what they're supposed to be doing. And so the point I'm making is Paul's saying, I want your walk to be good, and I want it to abound more and more and more. And what happens is when we let sin reign in our life, we become a servant to sin, and then what happens is God's against us. And we begin to have God against us, and against our families, against our children, and we wonder, why is everything going wrong in my life? Why is this happening? Why is this happening? And God is against us. And we live our life in such a manner that God cannot bless what we're doing. And we wonder what's going on. And the reason is because we're not walking in the light as He is in the light. And we grab a hold of that sin, and we hold on to that sin, and we harbor those feelings, and we don't get rid of them. And then sometimes we'll get rid of them, we ask God to forgive us, and the next morning, the same feelings come back. As soon as you see that person, those same feelings are right back, and you think, man, I asked God to forgive me for that last night. Then ask Him again, because we're flesh. The Bible says, when I would do good, evil is present with me. And this tempter is going to be there with you constantly. Every time you do good, he's going to be trying to get an angle on you. He's going to be trying to flank you, to get you to do something wrong, to get you to feel bad, to do something, get you mad at somebody, to get you just in a mess to where, you know what? You blow it. That's what he's trying to get you to do. He's trying to destroy you and get you to where you won't walk in the Spirit. Now, Romans chapter 13. Here's what he tells the Romans. Romans chapter 13, look at verse 13. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. Now, three out of those six things right there, I know what those are. But the other three, I didn't know what they were. Rioting and chambering and wantonness. You know what we do? We'll read over verses like that right there and say, God don't want me to do that. And then you don't have a clue what it is. It's just like me. And so what I do is I get me a dictionary. I don't need me a new Bible. All I need is a dictionary. And I get a dictionary out and I begin to find out what it is. Rioting. Rioting is indulging in excessive feasting. It's licentious luxury. All right? What's licentious mean? Licentious is excess of freedom, liberty, using license and being unrestrained by the law or morality. And see, that's what liberalism is. Liberalism is, it says, well, we're a free country. We can do anything we want. No, that's licentious, being licentious. God's got moral laws, and He says, I don't care what America says you're allowed to do. I've got some laws that says, according to my laws, you're not allowed to do that. And what we do is we restrain ourselves. That's what God wants us to do. That's the right walk, is to restrain yourself. And if we're not, then what we're saying is we don't have any moral boundaries. We don't have any limitations or anything like that. And it's indulging in excessive feasting. If you remember over there in Luke chapter 15, the prodigal son, it says that he wasted his substance in riotous living. And that's just excessive feasting, indulging in the excess of this freedoms that we have, with unrestrained by law or morality. So riotous basically means indulging in excessive feasting with no moral boundaries. And obviously you know what drunkenness is. And then you have chambering. Chambering is immodest behavior. Just behaving yourself immodestly. That's what God says when He says, I want you to walk like this, honestly, not chambering, not having immodest behavior. Wantonness. Wantonness is also a neglect of restraint. And what it means is, if it feels good, do it. That's what having wantonness is. And when you begin to sit here and look at this list of things right here that you're not supposed to do, now you think of things like people want to go to a party. Let's party this weekend. We're going to go to a party. Well, what's going to go on? Rioting, drunkenness, chambering, immodest behavior. That's what chambering is. You know where I've seen a lot of that at parties that I've been to? Is immodest behavior. People get drunk, girls get drunk, and you know what? It's immodest behavior. That's what goes on. I've seen it at bars, strip clubs, adult bookstores, liquor stores. Music pushes that. Music pushes that. Immodest behavior, drunkenness. Go get your top 10 list of country songs out right now and see if I just didn't give you the lyrics to it. Drunkenness, immodest behavior, excess feasting with no moral boundaries. What is that? That's music today. That's what they're pushing our kids to do. Go to spring break. I've been to Daytona Beach before during spring break. And you know what you see? You see riotous, drunkenness, chambering, wantonness. All those things. There are no limitations. They walk around with shirts that say, if it feels good, do it. No boundaries. No limitations. And you know what the Apostle Paul says? He says, that's not walking honestly. He says, you know the commandments we gave you. So he says in verse 13, let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. See, those first four words right there take out a lot of people. But then you get those last two words right there, strife and envying. There's some people that are always into it with somebody. And they never can figure out that they're the common denominator. I mean, it's like they're into it with this person, then they're into it with this person, they're into it with this person, they're into it with this person. And these people ain't against each other. These people ain't against each other. These people ain't against each other. This person is into, and they never understand. They're the common denominator. They're the ones that's causing the problems. Because of pride or aggravation or frustration or whatever it is, they're the ones that's just, they're always into it with somebody. And you've been around people like that, and it just, they're always, yeah, so-and-so, I thought so-and-so was like this, but they're like that. And I got into it with them the other day over this right here, and you talk to them the next day, well, let me tell you about so-and-so. Me and so-and-so got into it the other day, and it's they're always got strife with somebody. And then you got envying going on. People that's always envious of other people's lives, other people, the way they live. They're always looking at somebody else, think they got it made. And you know what he says? He says, that's not the way we're supposed to be. Not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. Verse 14, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. If he didn't think a Christian could sin and do those types of sins, Paul wouldn't preach the way he preaches. He's talking to saved people saying, you don't need to act like this. You need to act like this. Don't make provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. You know what he's saying? Don't act like a lost person. Don't have the same dreams, don't have the same desires, don't act the same way, don't react the same way, don't live the same way. He's saying you need to be different. He's saying the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. You know what he's saying? He's saying, you know the commandments we gave you. And just because some preacher gets up there and gets on country music, you ain't got to get mad at him. You ain't going to get mad because he brings up music and says, look at the lyrics of this song, or look at the lyrics of this. Brother Jack, you like music? I love music. I like bad music. I love it. I love to listen to bad music. But I don't. You say, why? Because you're not supposed to listen to that stuff that's going to incite you to live like other Gentiles live. And those things, they get into children and they get into kids. And you know what we do? We'll sit there and we'll let them listen to that kind of stuff right there. And before you know it, that's their mindset. That's the way they think. That's what they think love is. They think love is getting drunk in an old beat-up truck and going to the river and losing your virginity out there on the river. That's what they think love is. Where do they get that from? They get it from the music. They get it from movies. They get it from those things. And you know what Jesus Christ says? That ain't the lifestyle I want you to live. Whether I do it or whether I didn't do it. That's not what he wants us to do. Or whether some man or some woman you know in this church does it, or did it, or some Sunday school teacher did it. The standard is Jesus Christ. And when we get to this spot right here, we can do one of two things. We can justify our sin, or we can get right. One of two things. And what God said to do was confess our sins. And if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Look at Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 8. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. So again there, he's talking about your walk and how we're supposed to walk and how we're supposed to act when we're in this world. He says, "For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proven what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret." We're not even supposed to be speaking about what those people do. Look over at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. It's talking about how we live, how we're supposed to walk, what our actions are, what are the way our reactions are, our testimony in front of people, how we're possessing our vessel. What am I making this body do with the 70 years that I've got control of this body? What am I going to make this body do? That's what God's talking about. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 11. Here's what he says. "For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly." All right, what does that mean? Working not at all, but are busybodies. "Now them that are such, we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing." And you know what he's saying? He's saying there's some people that are, they don't get it, they won't get a job and they won't work and they won't take care of their family, and because they got all this spare time, they're nothing but a bunch of busybodies getting around, gossiping and causing trouble for people. And he's saying, if they're doing that, then what they're doing is they're walking disorderly. And the Bible says up there in verse 10, look what he says, "For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat." President Obama. Be a good verse for him to read right there. And verse 11, he goes on then and he says, "For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly." Go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. He's talking about your vessel, talking about how you're supposed to walk. These first five verses right here is what he's talking about when he's talking about controlling your vessel, controlling your body, controlling your actions. Verse 1, "Furthermore then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more. For ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God." And so those first five verses right there in this chapter deal with how a person's supposed to control his body and bring it under subjection, which is what the Apostle Paul calls it in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. All right, go ahead and take a break.